Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all seeking to express their full potential. Welcome. I'm April May. I am licensed Unity teacher, and also I am the office manager at Unity Center of Light. So I'd like to share with you this morning that we have a special guest with us today, Janelle Renshaw, and you'll hear more about her in a few minutes. But let's take a moment or two to share together our, which just disappeared from my screen. My PowerPoint presentation went away. All right. So talk amongst yourself for just a moment. I just have to pull it back up. Sorry.
Perhaps it wanted to go back to sleep. Just for a minute. Just 5 more minutes. Under the covers.
I can get it back, but it will just take a second. So, or we could do a backwards service and I could do Let There Be Peace on Earth first, because for some reason that's what it wants me to see.
If you'd like me to proceed with the daily word, just let me know.
Kathleen, proceed with the daily word. Thank you very much.
Hey. Good morning, Unity family. The daily word is on the illuminate. I welcome the light. Taking a moment to appreciate the beauty of a sunset, I realize that in another part of the world, the first rays of the rising sun are bringing light to a morning sky. Whether I can see it or not, the sun never stops shining. Somewhere, a new day is dawning. Much more brilliantly than the sun, the light of God, too, is always shining. Sometimes my thoughts may be so focused on a challenging life situation that I do not sense this divine light. Then, in a flash of insight, I experience again the illuminating presence that even in my darkest moments is as near as my next thought. I affirm, let there be light. I breathe out frustration and worry. Breathing in, I am filled with the light of truth that illuminates my mind and shines from within my heart. And from Genesis 1:3, then God said, let there be light. And there was light.
Thank you, Kathleen. Perfect daily word reading for when you can't access your PowerPoint. All right. And we've got it now. So I'd like to invite you all to join me in the mission and the foundation statements for the Unity Center of Light. And if you're not already muted, please mute yourself. That would apply to everybody but me at this point, right? So together, the mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us, far greater than anything that exists outside of us. In our foundation statement, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God, the good, omnipotent. And so it is. Amen. So as I shared with you just a minute ago, we do have a very special guest speaker with us today, Janelle Renshaw. She's a licensed Unity teacher. And I have the great pleasure of working with Janelle in her role as the youth consultant for the Unity Eastern Region. And she is a blessing there, as I know she will also be a blessing today. So I think that we're going to turn this over to Janelle and let her share with us
Good morning, everyone. It is so good to be here. And, you know, it's been almost a year since the almost to this day that I was here about. Some of you may recall we had a slight sound malfunction on the video, and I imagine it was really frustrating to not be able to hear me. So what I want to know right now is, can you hear me now? Yes? Good, good, good. You know, when I was talking to April about this talk title, and I told her the talk title, and I heard this little pause in her voice, and in my mind went like a million miles a minute in like 1 second flat. And I imagined she was thinking, are you kidding me? That's your title? That's what, can you hear me now? Believe me, I had second thoughts about this, but you know, the divine wants what the divine wants. So I always, always follow the lead with that. How many of you actually remember that slogan, can you hear me now? Just about everybody can remember that guy. He was the representative for Verizon, and you know, he would go to all of those remote places just to see if he had a signal. I think he went to like the desert, the swamps, the jungle. I think he even went to outer space just to see if he had signal. And my favorite part, just like when I heard that little pause from April, you know, was that part of the slogan where he would say, can you hear me now? And then he would do that little pause and he would say, good. It indicated to me that he waited for a response to his question before actually responding back. And so it got me to thinking, how many times has God called in our lives and waited for us to respond? How many times? How many times has he hit that redial button, waiting for us to pick up and wait for the response? You know, slogans like that, can you hear me now, are a funny thing. And advertising companies spend millions upon millions of dollars creating catchy slogans to imprint your mind. And they also use graphics and people and places and animals to connect you to a feeling that you will experience while you're enjoying their product. And I heard Reverend Mosby was a marketing professor before he came to ministry. And I'm sure he can tell you how much time and money is spent on creating ads and slogans that stick for life. But just to be sure that these slogans actually stick, let's test that theory of how slogans actually stick with us. So I'm a licensed Unity teacher, and I kind of like to do things that are a little bit interactive. So if you can open up your chat boxes and get your little keyboard fingers ready, I'm going to go through a list of slogans to see if you actually remember these, if they were actually imprinted into your mind. So is everybody ready? Big thumbs up. Awesome. Okay, here's the first one. Have it your way. I have to actually get my chat box. Oh, there it is. Burger King. You guys are BK. Awesome. Okay, how about this one? You're in good hands. Man, look at that. Okay, how about this one? The quicker picker upper. Got it. Down. Quicker picker upper was Bounty. Bounty paper towels. How about just do it? Yeah. See how these just stick in your mind? Okay. Bet you can't just eat one. Everybody's getting it. Lay's potato chips. Okay. How about these? That'll never happen. How about, okay, I'm fine. How about, I can't afford that, or he or she doesn't listen. or I don't have time. Yeah, see how these slogans that they just imprint in our mind? Some of us use these slogans all the time without realizing that we've created these and they have stuck in our mind and body for life. And so I ask you, how much time, money, and energy have you spent attached to your logans, your slogans? Slogans and logans. So, you know, that's a good question to ask yourself, is how much time and energy have I spent repeating the same thing over and over again and ingraining it in my mind and body? You know, we are currently on our Lenten journey in Unity's Lenten journey of 40 days of letting go. You may or may have not noticed that the 40 days are about letting go of this and letting go of that. But out of those 40 days, there are 5 days that invite you into a process. It's not asking you to let go of anything. It's just inviting you into a process. And the word process is defined as a series of actions or steps taken in order to achieve a particular end. And today's process in our Lent journey is the process of detachment. Yes, detachment is a process. It does not happen overnight. Much like our popular slogans that are ingrained and attached to our mind and body, detachment is not easy, but it is doable. It is doable. Again, it's a process. From Matthew 6:21, Jesus states, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. You know, our brother Jesus taught us to store up treasures in heaven, meaning putting God first in every area of our lives. And throughout the epic Sermon on the Mount, he taught about the heavenly reward that comes when we forgo earthly rewards, such as materialism, vanity, having it your way, and a lot of times we like that recognition from others. We get caught up in all of these attachments. And he taught this because he understood the human condition of being attached to the things of the earth and the things of, you know, people, events, circumstances, wants, and desires. They're all sources of attachment and entanglements. Unity's principle number 3 states that human beings create their experiences by the activity of their thinking, meaning that everything in the manifest realm has its beginning in thought. So would it be safe to say that our attachments are not created from people, events, or circumstances that have happened in our lives, but that it is the thoughts that we create and the feelings we attach about the people, events, and circumstances that become our slogans for life? You see, feelings are the key to what sticks and what becomes just another passing thought. And a key component of Unity's principle number 3 states that using tools like denials and affirmations can support you in working with Unity principle number 3. You see, slogans are just another form of an affirmation. You know, we think about it, affirmations, mantras, slogans, prayers, everything that we repeat over and over and over becomes ingrained in our bodies and being deeper and deeper and deeper. So making wise choices on what we choose to repeat over and over and over is the key to the denials and affirmations and Unity principle number 3. To quote Charles Fillmore, he says, "Deny the thought and affirm what you really want in reality." Now, this is not as simple as it sounds. You can't just deny something. And in fact, it's actually dangerous and unfruitful if you just deny something that doesn't exist. It's like the elephant in the room that everyone swears doesn't exist. You know, you go to those family reunions or the, you know, the outings, and you know, this family member's got a beef with this family member, and those two don't talk, but everybody in the room is saying, are they going to talk this time? Are they going to talk? I don't know. Maybe next time. But that's what feelings are like. Feelings are like the elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about. And the feelings are stored at a cellular level in your body, and they will stay there until they are felt and understood. If they're not felt and understood, they could come out in all the wrong ways, such as anger with others. It can come out too in ways like addictions to substances. The further we push those down, the harder they're gonna try to get up. So it's very important that we look at our attachments and exactly what they're wanting to tell us and us to feel before we actually go and affirm something new. So to be able to detach and deny something, we have to find out why we created the attachment in the first place. You see, we have to get to the root of the tree. You can't just cut off the tree. So how many people have cut off the tree and then it started growing back again? I have a blackberry bush that I've cut down several times, and every time I think I've gotten to the root, it continues to grow again and again. So we have to find out getting to the root of why we created the attachment in the first place. So how do attachments get created, and they become those slogans in our life? So I'm going to run through a kind of an example from one of our catchy slogans, and I'm going to use I'm not enough, because all of us at one point or another have felt as though we were not enough, which is really just a simple feeling of being rejected. And April, I've got some, April has some slides or a PDF of the slides that I'm gonna kind of run through so that you can kind of look at these at another time. She'll put those in the chat box for you. So we're gonna be working with the I'm not enough. So there's going to be an event that happens. So there's always something that happens that allows us or what makes us want to create ways that we will work, or like the attachments that we make is because something happened. That's what I was trying to say. My words weren't coming out right this morning. So there's what happened. So with the I'm not enough, it's I told someone how I felt and I was rejected, and it made me feel like I wasn't enough. So from that conversation, to make myself feel okay, I might say, it was no big deal. It's not worth my time. It doesn't matter. Or the great one, I'm fine. So from there, you have to create a solution so that I'll never put myself in that position again. And that is, I won't tell people how I feel and avoid the feeling of being rejected. What happens over time is I'm carrying around unexpressed feelings and needs that result in being separated from myself and from others. What kept me from simply accepting that one moment in time that I was rejected by one person, that I allowed it to alter every similar moment of my entire life? An uncomfortable feeling. That's what I avoided. And I set up all that slogan of I'm not enough, or you know, that belief system or this thought about somebody else, just to avoid an uncomfortable feeling. You know, we will do just about anything to avoid how we feel. we stuff things down, we become heavier and heavier, and mind and body and soul, we become detached from hearing God's voice. We get caught up in all the things that we made up and defending those aspects about ourselves, that we create that separation from ourselves, God, the garden. When feelings are simply just navigation tools for when something needs my attention. Something needs my attention. In my preparation for this talk, it was funny because my mind brought up a popular Netflix series called Mad Men. And subsequently, it's an advertising company. So I think my mind was, you know, your mind's a magnet. So it was kind of drawing all of these things in. But the lead character is Don Draper. And he was a womanizing alcoholic that was completely out of touch with who he was until his life fell apart. You know, it takes everything falling apart for us to wake up. But he had no job, he had no wife, no money, and he ended up in an ashram where he finally broke down upon hearing the story of another young man. And he went over there and he wrapped his arms around him and held him and began to feel all of those feelings that he never would or could. And in the last couple of, there's a couple of different scenes in there, but one of them is where Don is sitting lotus position, and he is chanting the sound of Om, you know, the seed mantra of our entire existence. And he's just up on a hill and he's smiling. And then the last scene of this series was one of the most iconic of all. You know, it was upon a hilltop and there was a collection of multicultural teenagers, and they just appear and they begin to sing the song. I bet you know it. I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. And you know what? I don't know any other part of that song. That's the only part I know. But what I do know is that the premise around the entire ending was that Don Draper finally got in touch with his feelings and loved those parts of himself that had been longing to be loved. Without all those blockages in mind and body, the will of God came through and he could hear him and produced the most iconic ad in history. Although I don't think he actually created that, but it was a great ending to that series. At some point in time, your slogan, whatever it may be, served its purpose, possibly, you know, to keep you safe. But does it still serve you today? Or is it holding you back from hearing the will of God? Charles Fillmore from the Book of Prosperity wrote, and this goes back to the denials and affirmations that we as a unity movement hold so dear. But he states that it is just as necessary that one should let go of the old thoughts and conditions after they have served their purpose, as it is that one should lay hold of new ideas and create new conditions to meet one's requirements. He states that in fact, we cannot lay hold of the new ideas and make the new conditions until we have made room for them by eliminating the old. Remember, detachment is a process, a series of actions or steps taken in order to achieve a particular end. What is that process? That process is letting go and putting first things first. Getting real and raw about the slogan you have attached to yourself. no stuffing it down, dismissing it, or avoiding it. And using your powers of discernment, understanding, will, and to love those parts of yourself that needed you the most. Once you're able to do that, then you can create a new slogan, an affirmation or mantra that honors and fulfills those parts of you that you didn't realize were being neglected. And then once that's cleared, you're open, listening to the whispers of God. And just maybe, he'll ask, "Can you hear me now?" Good. Here's what's next. So allowing yourselves to just settle into listening to the voice of God, we'll be preparing ourselves for meditation. Gently begin to focus in on your breath. And following the guidance of my voice, taking in a full deep breath. And exhale with a deep sigh. And again, breathe in fully. Exhale, deep sigh, letting go even more. Continue with slow, long, steady breaths. And each time you exhale, empty your lungs completely and fully. And on the next breath in, silently breathe in the word, "So hum." On the next breath out, silently repeat the word, "So hum." Breathing in deeply and fully, repeating the words, "So hum, so hum, so hum." And with each exhalation, repeating the phrase, "So hum, so hum, so hum." Continuing repeating this mantra silently to yourself as you drop deeper and deeper into a space of stillness and peace. So hum, so hum. Breathing easily and naturally as you repeat the word, "So hum." Feeling every cell of your body deeply feeling, hearing, and absorbing the phrase, "So hum." And now release the phrase, breathe normally, and be still, as we enjoy a moment of silence. So hum, so hum. I am that I am. from this space of stillness and peace, allow your entire self to respond spontaneously and effortlessly to what I say. I allow myself to change from where I am rather than where I am not. I allow myself to change from where I am rather than where I am not. I allow myself to change from where I am rather than where I am not. Now allowing yourself to become aware of your surroundings, perhaps wiggling your toes, wiggling your fingers, and feeling the sensations throughout your entire body and being, every cell alive and energized with the slogan of "So hum, so hum." I am that I am. Giving thanks and gratitude for this moment of stillness and peace, we say thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so it is.